How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined, as always, by Harrison Fagan. Today's show, because we are still just far enough away from the season that there's very little to talk about, but we do have a fun show. We came up with an interesting idea for this one. But today's show is going to center around work that the front office still has yet to do. I'll get the details on that in a second. As always, find the show on Audio Boom, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, and today's Fast Break. Use those promo codes with all of our sponsors. Continue to support them as they support us. And if you are interested in supporting the show yourself with your own company, make sure you send an email to LakersLockedOn@gmail.com. Again, that's LakersLockedOn@gmail.com. We've had a couple people reach out. I appreciate those who did. And that dialogue has already occurred. Anywho, today's show is going to center, like I said, around work that the front office still has to do. The way today's podcast is going to work, Harrison has some priorities that he thinks the Lakers still have, and he's going to explain those priorities and why that's, you know, why they remain as priorities. And I'm going to, because I am addicted to the ESPN trade machine, I came up with some trades before we went live here to get this stuff rolling. So without further ado, let's go to Harrison. Well, first off, Harrison, how are you doing?
I was going to say, am I allowed to talk yet?
It was a long intro. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I don't know. For whatever reason, I'm the one that gets the comments that I cut off guests, but it's like, I guess it's not cutting off if you just don't ever let me start talking. So
yeah, I'm way less rude.
Yeah, I'm, you know, to answer your question, I'm tired, but that's kind of a perpetual kind of thing for me at this point. But yeah, I mean, I'm good. I'm ready for basketball to come back. At this point, we've hit the point in the offseason where I'm not sure it ever is coming back. I start to wonder a little bit. I'm a little bit like a dog in that if I don't see something right in front of me, I just assume it's dead or like gone forever. And so the NBA has been gone a while. I've kind of written it off. I don't know that it exists anymore. So that's where I'm at.
Tonight in the Packers-Falcons game, there was a moment where they played the old NBA on NBC theme, and I almost started crying. I miss basketball. I miss it way too much. It was a little embarrassing. My wife hasn't looked at me the same since it happened. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm sure she was just like looking at you right beforehand based on everything else. Yeah. anyway, so we should probably get into these trades. And I did come up with a couple ideas. And then you came up with like a couple kind of trades. You haven't told me what these trades are yet.
No.
And then I am going to harshly judge you for our viewers. And then they can also... Anthony, where can people tell you that you're an idiot after these trades?
At HM Fagan.
Oh, that backfired. Okay. So, anyway, I think the first thing that the Lakers have to do, this is the one that, of course, they're going to, we know for a fact that they're going to try to address this year, is they need to clear some salary. Mm-hmm. And I think the most obvious candidate that they would probably love nothing more than to deal is Luol Deng. Anthony, knockoff trade machine Picasso, how would you get rid of Luol Deng's contract?
Not easily, it turns out.
Wow, really? Oh, shocking.
I'm telling you. So
I was expecting that one to just be like out the door. It was gone already. First thing, you were just going to be like, yeah, I got a deal for you.
Well, I do have a deal, but
okay.
All right, so the first question I have is, do you think the Lakers would ever be willing to attach Brandon Ingram to Luol Deng to move him?
No.
So
not unless they knew they were getting LeBron.
Okay. So I kind of disagree.
Okay. I'm curious to hear why you're wrong.
Well, well it's tough because, again, so Brandon Ingram's rookie year was two separate seasons, basically. It just so happened, though, that the larger sample size pointed to Ingram not being good. He wasn't good last year. And he got a lot better in the final month of his season, and he's super young, so I can kind of understand why he's as untouchable as he reportedly is, and as untouchable as Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka have made it sound as he is.
Well, he's untouchable because he's so skinny that when he turns to the side, the teams can't, like, the front office can't see him. So
literally
just,
impossible.
Like, anytime they try to touch him, they can't find him. He just turns sideways. He's gone.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tough problem to have, you know. It's one I haven't had in like 10 years, but
been there.
Dude, you are, never mind. Anywho, so if we are operating under the assumption that Brandon Ingram cannot be moved, Luol Deng becomes almost impossible to move, flat out. Because for one thing, they're looking
all
to
right,
not...
Well, bye, LeBron. It was nice. Those dreams were nice.
Well, it's tough because, for one thing, there aren't very many expirings that just fit into that Luol Deng spot, right? And the teams that have those kinds of expirings are looking at those, as Rob Pelinka would say, sacredly. They
Mana from heaven.
Yeah, they are.
Rob Pelinka would call these expiring contracts, they're bail bonds and stock delivered by God himself.
Yeah. So I guess I'll go ahead and point out to the trade. And I adjusted it from the original trade that I was going to first
That's why
made.
You talked so long. You were stalling.
Yeah, I was.
Okay.
So,
oh, good. That was an excellent filibuster, but that was ruined.
Do you want to take a break first, and then we'll get back to the trade?
That would feel pretty messed up.
All right, I'll give the trade, and then we'll take a break, and then I'll let you yell at me about the trade.
Okay.
The Lakers send Luol Deng, Larry Nance Jr., and Ivica Zubac to Chicago for Dwayne Wade.
I quit the show.
All right, so why do you quit?
I mean, you at least kept the father and son together, I guess, is my first reaction. So you didn't divide up a family, but you broke my heart, and you traded two of my favorite guys to interact with on the team. Mm-hmm. And you just, like, you sent them to Chicago for Dwayne Wade. I actually had like an anger aneurysm and just like stopped listening.
I almost killed Harrison with a trade proposal. Beyond
In all seriousness, I actually think that would be a pretty good deal for the Lakers.
It's a deal that if it's on the table, they have to pull the trigger.
Yeah, and I don't think it's on the table. I don't think Chicago would do that.
No, I think they'd rather just buy out Wade.
Yeah, exactly. And I also don't think that stock on Larry Nance Jr. and on Ivica Zubac is high enough around the league that Chicago would be like, yeah, let's bring back Deng and his body that we destroyed to play for our team theoretically. But
they could finally actually kill him.
I think that was more of a Thibodeau thing.
Oh,
so maybe you could get that to the Wolves. You could be like, hey, Tom, you could finish what you started. But I don't know. I don't know if that was a Bulls organizational plan to kill Luol Deng.
We'll never know.
Yeah. Rest in peace.
How far would you go then to... So the original iteration of this trade had Julius Randle in Larry Nance Jr.'s place. And the reason I took Julius Randle out is because I actually think this trade makes more sense for Chicago, because if you trade Julius Randle along with Luol Deng, you're trading essentially the opportunity to pay Luol Deng and Julius Randle for the next 2 to 3 to 4 years, a combined roughly,
what,
$40 million between the two of them.
I don't know that Randall's going to get $25
million. Well, no. So Luol Deng is making $17 million right now, right? So
he's making how much? I'm just kidding.
Yeah. But he's making $17 million. I would imagine Randall is going to get in the ballpark of, what, $15 million? So that's, what, $32 million between the two of them?
Yeah, you're a little short of $40 million.
Yeah, no, I upon rethinking things, I think Randall is, I don't
upon
think Randall's going to make 20.
Upon doing basic math, you determine that.
Well, how much do you think? How much do you think Julius Randall's going
to
make?
To be honest, I don't know, and I'm very interested to find out. Because I honestly have no sense for where this. It only takes one team to really, really value him and think that they're the ones that can get the most out of him, and that team might be the Lakers this season. Mm-hmm. But he's a former lottery pick. Somebody's going to take a shot on him. But I don't know. It just doesn't seem like, we don't really hear his name in rumors and that kind of stuff. I just don't think that he's a guy. You talk to like people who watch other teams a lot, and they don't seem to be that high on Randall. I think the Lakers are higher on Randall than the rest of the league.
And there's so little money to be spent next year.
Yeah, that too.
So it's really going to be interesting to see. And look, maybe that works to the team that trades for him's benefit, right? They say, we're going to have the opportunity to pay Julius Randle, and maybe it winds up only costing them the qualifying offer.
They say, oh, we're going to have to pay Julius Randle and also Luol Deng.
Well, right. That's the downside, and that's why I included Larry Nance Jr. and Ivica Zubats, because...
Oh, man, I just cursed on the show.
You did. I was
Dang
surprised.
I must be tired. I apologize, everyone.
My ears are bleeding, but other than that, I think
I'm going to have to go back and bleep that out now. That's upsetting.
Honestly, the idea of paying Luol Deng and Julius Randle for the next 3 to 4 years would make me cuss too.
Yeah, I broke professional character. Like, anyone who knows me knows that I am prone to cursing every so often off the air, but I've been trying to keep this a family podcast, so I apologize for that.
Right, so long story short, what are you willing to add here to because there's still a little bit of wiggle room here. Dwayne Wade is set to make $23.8 million next year. Luol Deng is making $17.19. Larry Nance Jr. is making $1.5 million. Zubats is making $1.3 million. So the Lakers, technically speaking, right now have, you know, maybe a couple million. They could add another prospect. Would you do that, though? Would you add, say...
There's not really an obvious sweetener. I guess maybe Thomas Bryant?
Well, would you add like a future first, or would you add like a future second or a couple future seconds?
No, I don't think that the Lakers should be trading picks, because I don't. The number one, LeBron hasn't signed on the dotted line, so you don't know that you're getting him. And number two, we've just seen what happens when that goes wrong. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that that is the wisest course of action. Because you just never know what's going to happen with your team. And I would be against throwing in picks. Also, because you can still sign these guys even with Deng on the roster next summer. This is not something where his contract has to be gone for the Lakers to have any chance to sign these guys. And so that would kind of be my holdups with that.
And there are other ways that we'll get to potentially move or to clear up some of this cap space.
Yeah, and the other thing is that I was looking at the Lakers roster page as we were doing this, because I was trying to figure out, like, is there anybody else that I'd throw in as a sweetener? And Steven Zimmerman looks like a stretched-out 8-year-old.
I still think you guys are making this guy up. There's no
yeah,
way.
He
has a longer neck than you!
Finally, someone.
Holy, what?
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, so next trade.
I don't know if I think, can continue.
I think we've discussed this trade enough, right?
Yeah.
I'd do that deal, the deal that you proposed. I don't think the Chicago would. I guess, like, long story short. Mm-hmm. So let's get into the next one. I think it actually, Randall is kind of a good segue into this because him and Nance and Dang can really only play the four now. And I'm looking through the rest of this roster, like Kyle Kuzma needs some time. Ingram eventually is going to play the four, although that's not as much of a concern this year. Nance, I think I mentioned, but like the Lakers have a logjam at the four, mm-hmm. and they're going to, well, like, they don't have to move someone, but it would probably help them if they could move someone. And I guess I'm curious, who do you think that will be? I think I know the answer, but who do you think that will be? And what is the hypothetical best deal that you could find for Julius Randle? Because I'm just assuming that that is who you decided to move.
Actually, I started with Nance.
Oh, plot twist.
I did. I started with Nance. Because of the reasons that we just talked about, I think there's an argument to be made here because Nance makes less right now. He doesn't have to get paid at the end of this year. And I think he's easier to build around. That Nance's value might be a little higher than Julius Randle's right now around the league. And Magic has said that teams have called about Larry Nance Jr., right? When he called him his secret weapon, or that he called Larry Nance Jr. their secret weapon. So I built off of that, and an iteration of this trade would work with Randle in Nance's place, but I am sending Corey Brewer and Larry Nance Jr. to Atlanta for Marco Bellinelli and a future second-round pick from Atlanta.
Marco Bellinelli and a future second?
Yeah.
I don't think that that's necessarily the best deal.
Okay. Would you? So we had this conversation before we went live on the air. Does Julius Randle and or, like, is there anybody not named Ingram or Lonzo on the Lakers right now who would net you a first round pick?
No, I don't think so. Because teams, I think, overvalue their first round picks. It's like the old Family Guy bit. Like, it's a mystery box. Like, it could be anything, even Larry Nance Jr. or Julius Randle.
Mm-hmm. I would tend to agree, right? And if that's the case, If Atlanta threw in 2 second-rounders, would you make the deal?
The Lakers have shown a lot of success in the second round, but they have such a young team. I don't know how much value that has versus a guy like Nance, who's probably better than any of those second-rounders you're going
to
get.
See, I would actually go the other route. If they were to acquire a couple second-rounders for Larry Nance Jr., I think that makes it easier for if and when LeBron and or Paul George get there to send out those picks to bring in more veteran immediate help for those guys.
Yeah, I guess, or get cheap help on the fringes, or slowly, like, kind of rebuild on the margins with a couple younger contributors. I guess that's possible.
And when you have a second round draft pick that you haven't made yet, that's cheap.
Another mystery box.
Right. The same logic applies here. But also, the guy that you draft is going to be cost controlled for the next 3 years or so, right? And Larry Nance Jr., by the time those guys get here,
he might be good by the third year.
He might be, but Larry Nance Jr., by the time those guys, if LeBron and or Paul George sign it at next offseason, you only have Larry Nance Jr. for 1 year before he has to get paid, right? So it kind of complicates things as these young guys that the Lakers have start hitting their extension periods. So we'll see how this turns out. But I would probably make. I'd make it for 2 second-rounders. I'd hold out for 2 second-rounders, but if I absolutely had to, I'd send like if Atlanta said, we'll send you Bellinelli and 1 second-rounder for Julius Randle straight up, I'd make that deal.
Well, okay, I apologize to recurring guest Larry Nance Jr. for Anthony trying to ship him out of town in repeated trades. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Theoretical second rounders can't dunk off of Lonzo alley-oops, so I don't know if I'm down with that deal.
Yeah, and the other thing too with this deal, and most of the deals that we're talking about, the first deal involving Dwayne Wade, I don't think will be able to be made at the trade deadline, because I think Chicago is looking to buy him out sooner rather than later anyway, right? So that deal I don't think will be available at the trade deadline. This one will be. Marco Bellinelli will be available at the trade deadline, I would believe. And most of the trades that I'm going to bring up here are going to be available as the year goes along. So, you know, if the front court looks as crowded as it appears right now and somehow gets worse, if Kyle Kuzma steps in and looks like he absolutely needs minutes, then I think the Lakers probably have to revisit this kind of deal. And there are other deals out there like it. This is kind of a generic insert trade here kind of trade that the Lakers could look at again as the year goes along, because I don't, you know, injuries notwithstanding, this front court isn't going to solve itself.
Yeah.
All right. What's the next priority that you wanted to look at?
So the third and final theoretical trade is one that I know you are excited to make. And what is the best deal that you think that you can get for Jordan Clarkson? Because it goes kind of back to the cap space thing. I knew that you would go with Dang if I said, you know, like, let's get rid of let's get cap space. So I'm also curious about what you would do with Clarkson, because I think he's more likely the cap casualty.
So I would agree. He has more value than Dang. His contract really isn't that bad. It just so happens that the Lakers have to move it if they are going to continue to talk about two contracts as, or two max deals as an inevitability moving forward. And that's the way they've been talking about it, right? So filibustering notwithstanding, I would send Jordan Clarkson up to the Sacramento Kings for Garrett Temple in return.
So pure salary dump. You don't think they can get any value for him?
No. No, I really don't think so. He look.
Lost on Lakers guest Jordan Clarkson for Anthony's hatred. Also, Anthony, I guess this is why we don't get guests, because every time they come on the show, Anthony tries to trade them next time.
Well, maybe if he gets very
attached, he gets very attached. He starts texting them. They say, "Hey, this isn't my number. This isn't Jordan Clarkson's number. Harrison gave you a fake number so that you wouldn't bother him." And you just are like, no, come back on the show. And, you know, it's like, and then you just try to trade them because you're like a spurned lover.
Thank you for putting my business all out there like that. I greatly appreciate you going through my texts.
Hey, man, I got to keep an eye on you.
All right. So,
but yeah. So as far as the merits of that deal, you know, it's funny because there was a point where we valued Clarkson very highly. He was the start of the Lakers' young rebuild, whatever. But I think at this point, you kind of just grit your teeth and make that deal because you need the cap space.
I don't think Garrett Temple is that bad of a return for Jordan Clarkson. He shot 37% from three last year. Sure, he didn't shoot very many of them. I don't believe he shot very, you know, he didn't play all that. Well, I guess he played 29 minutes a game, or 26 minutes per game last year. He shot 37% from three on three and a half attempts per game. I don't think you're going to do
much better. Can I just be like really brutally honest?
Huh.
If Garrett Temple walked into the newsroom where I'm recording this right now, I would not know it was him.
Well, it's funny that you mention that, because walking into the newsroom right now is Garrett Temple. How's it going, Garrett?
So he's on the show, so you're going to try and trade him too.
I have no idea what he sounds like, so yeah. I couldn't even. I'm not.
Yeah, let's not try and do an impression of somebody we've never met.
I will not do that.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think I'd do that deal. Then that actually even sounds a little bit better than I initially thought. But I think it's mainly the cap relief. It's not about who you're getting back.
Right.
And unless they're picks, and you're not going to get picks for Jordan Clarkson. I'm sorry, Laker fans. No. You're just not. And so I think you do that deal just to clear the salary cap space if you can't find any deal where you're going to get some type of asset.
And so the other thing, you know, I was giving Garrett Temple's numbers, shooting and stuff like that, but the only number here that really matters, he has one fewer year on his contract. He's paid $8 million this year. That is $3.5 million less than Jordan Clarkson. And you can, if they absolutely need to clear, you know, if they really need to nickel and dime their way to cap space, max cap space for two guys next year, they can technically stretch Temple and clear up, what would it be, $4 million? Four extra million dollars? So this deal, if they trade Clarkson for Temple, they would save $3 million off of the bat, and then an additional $4 million per year by stretching him. So, I mean, you're clearing up $7 million that you could spend in the immediate free agency period next summer. That's kind of exactly what you're looking to do.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I actually, this is the point where we stop the show. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to say, Anthony, you just won Executive of the Year. So good job. Everybody, round of applause, please.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'd like to thank the Lord above. I'd like to thank my wife for sticking with me and listening to these terrible trade proposals that I like. If you guys hate it on Twitter when I send it out, just imagine living with me. It's not great. It's not great. All right. So
yeah, I'm convinced she has some rare form of Stockholm syndrome.
One of my favorite mentions of all time on Twitter was Tom saying, "Wait, she looks normal. How did that happen?"
Yes, that's one of my favorite tweets of all time. I will every so often retweet that.
All right, so that was all of the priorities, right?
Yeah, that was all of them. That was all three trades. So those are Anthony's three trades the Lakers should make. And I wish we had thought of like a catchier name for that, but we're lazy.
I have a fourth trade just for S&G.
Okay.
Are you ready?
No.
Let me find it. All right, I found it. Ready?
No, still not.
On December 14th, the Lakers can send Julius Randle and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope to Oklahoma City for Paul George.
Yeah, I don't think that's working.
Why not?
Because I don't think that OKC is just going to decide midseason that they just like want to get rid of Paul George and they really want to pay Julius Randle next summer.
So wait, if the experiment doesn't go well in Oklahoma City, like let's say Oklahoma City is sitting at the 7 spot, which I don't think they'll be, but let's just say things don't go well. Russell Westbrook misses making, you know, averaging a triple-double and refuses to pass the ball to Paul George because he was dribbling after he catches it, thus taking away Russell Westbrook assists. There's no way, shape, or form that Oklahoma City... Look, the other thing, too, is Russell Westbrook hasn't even signed his extension. Like, you would think after they acquire Paul George, that would be one of the things that he would have taken care of already, but he hasn't, right?
No, because they're going to the Lakers together in free agency.
According to Ramona Shelburne, right? So...
Well, I don't know that she said that. I think she said that, like, it's possible.
Oh, yeah, that was I'm not going to make
I don't think it was a report. I think she was like, hey, they're both from L.A., and they both play together now, so Lakers.
Ah, yeah, I love that.
It was, like, one of those things.
That line of thinking has never failed anybody before.
Yes, certainly not the Lakers, who just have assumed that everybody is going to sign with them for, like, the last, like, 5 years.
All right, so... What would the Lakers have to attach? So if they traded a future second along with Julius Randle and KCP for Paul George.
OKC second? Oh, never mind. Okay. Now if I'm OKC, I'm 100% on board with this. I mean,
do you understand how negotiating works?
Huh?
Do you understand how negotiating works?
Yeah.
You don't immediately go from, all right, so this is our base offer, to, all right, fine, we'll give you four first rounders and the right to buy the Lakers in 2025. What do you think? Like, that's not how you negotiate. You try to go up.
Oh, I negotiate. It's called negotiating in good faith.
It explains a lot.
Yeah.
That's how I got you on this show. So you don't think... So what would it take? So if you're the Lakers, would you include a future first rounder for Paul George?
No, in this deal. For the same reason I wouldn't have included a first rounder for him when he was in Indiana. I think there's a very good chance the Lakers can sign him anyway, and if I'm the Lakers, I'd rather take that chance.
Wait, do you know something? Have you been tampering? I hope there's an email somewhere out there from Magic Johnson to the league. He just says, go tamper yourself. Like, that'd be so great.
I like to believe that, like, this whole thing was Magic Johnson accidentally, like, hitting reply all on an email. And, it, like, he emailed the Pacers as well as Paul George's agent or something like that.
Please tell me you've heard Magic Johnson's, like, explanation for and
oh, wait, no, we found out it was Pelinka that did the tampering. So. Well,
but it was he went on First Take, I think it was, and First, you know, took accountability for it. He took the onus. He took the blame for the tampering, but then refused to acknowledge that the Lakers did any tampering, thus kind of wiping out.
We didn't tamper, but if we did, we deserve the fine.
Yeah, he said, something along the lines of, and the video is tremendous, the audio is tremendous.
Genie, this one's on me, but we didn't tamper.
Yeah, you know, he said that Genie has been great to work with. You talk for a second. I'm going to see if I can find a transcription of it.
Magic No. You don't need to find that, but the general gist of it was essentially that Magic Johnson was saying the same stuff he's been saying for the last couple weeks, that he's going, that he wished that he could take, like, pay the fine himself, that he blamed himself, and then just basically, like, it's not going to happen again, but I don't think it was that bad.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Nope. That wasn't it. I can't find it.
This is great. This is wonderful radio. I think that about does it for the show, to be honest. We're, like, petering out here a little bit at the end. Yeah. And, again, that was Anthony's crazy trade proposals. If you guys like this, we can bring this segment back. Just let us know on Twitter or in the iTunes reviews, I guess.
Mm-hmm. iTunes reviews. Leave a 5-star review of the show. If you don't like the trade, you can't leave a lower than 5-star review because of the trade proposal. You're reviewing the show. Huge, huge difference there. But yeah, if you can find, I have the video here. Maybe I'll tweet out the video of Magic Johnson taking accountability while not taking accountability.
Yes, Anthony found video of Magic Johnson on First Take. Everybody, please give him an investigative journalism award.
You know, I have my sources. I can confirm that I found the video.
I appreciate that you let us know that you were able to successfully find video of Magic Johnson going on ESPN.
Well, I was hoping to find a transcription of it so I can read it because it's so ridiculous the way he says it. It's really bad.
Okay.
Anywho.
You did your best.
As always, find the show on Audio Boom, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, and today's Fast Break. I am Anthony Irwin. That is Harrison Fagan. I am at Anthony Irwin LA. He is at HM Fagan. If you didn't like his analysis of my trades, make sure you at him with a picture of a giraffe.
With at Anthony Irwin LA.
Yeah. And look up a picture of the Zimmerman character that apparently is on the Lakers because he actually has a longer neck than Harrison.
Me and him are going to get along well. I can already tell.
We found it. It happened.
Kindred spirits.
Absolutely. Have a good one, everybody.